But times our paths are laid before us by a power greater than our own. In those moments, it's our task to make our feet go where our hearts wish not to tread, no matter the perils awaiting our way. God, stop trying to be cool.
I don't know that I ever was cool. There was like two moments where I was cool, and then that went all way.
What were they?
I was like, for the first time ever, I was like in the cool clique at my improv studio. Like all of a sudden, I was like,
never mind.
Fuck.
Audience, I'm so sorry. That was my fault.
That is cruel. Wow. Okay, forget it. Anyway, welcome to Podcast of the Rings. I'm Jessica Linverdy, and with me as always is my bully, Ben Goddard. Yeah.
Absolutely. High school bully here. School. Hey, you know what? I got best actor in high school drama, so I am not above acting or anything like that.
I mean, I understand that. And I'm proud of you. I expect nothing less of my friends to have those kind of accolades. High school's no joke, though.
Yeah, we had a really good drama program at my high school. Like, we did, my sister, her senior year, did Les Miserables, and it was, like, big news in the county. Because it was, you know, it's a very hard play to pull off, obviously.
Cute, long play, yeah.
Long play, you know, all singing, but... Like, the man, I'll see if I can find a picture, because, like, they did the barricade set. It's very impressive.
Wow.
It's very impressive.
And this is a Catholic school, yeah?
No, this was a public high school.
Oh, was it? That's even more interesting. Because, yeah, the politics at my Catholic high school that I went to for 2 years, depending on how much you donated, you were more likely to get the role, let's say.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So there was like definitely those politics. And ultimately, I don't know that I was as talented then as I am now, or as like some of those girls were, that I was like, oh, their mom just volunteers and bought the bear because they did Les Mis too after I left. And
oh, okay.
And could afford like some amazing sets and whatever. But that was half of the game that they played.
For sure.
But anyway, we're talking about some decent acting today in the final episode of Rings of Power.
Yeah, after that quote, which is said by the stranger, who is played by, I don't even know the actor's name, just because, you know, he's been a mute this whole season. Well, not a mute, but, you know, like,
dumb.
Daniel Wayman.
Ah,
and
yes,
his
yes.
IMDb, like, he looks so different without, you know, long, scraggly hair and a beard. It's crazy.
That's why I love casting, too, because they'll be like, you know what? I think this guy could do it. Or maybe his agent pitched him hard and he got the role. And he's good for it. He really is good for it.
No, and that's the thing is that, like, it's, I understand, like, the story needs to be the story, but it is a detriment that this is his only real speaking episode because he's so good. Like, you know, and this is the episode where everyone theorizes that he's Gandalf because of, you know, the whole follow your nose thing.
Sure.
But that quote is great. And then right under it, there's another one where it's like, alone, it's just a journey. Now adventures, they must be shared. And like, that's another great line. And so he's just rattling them off.
You know, this whole time I've been entertaining your Sauron theory. And by the way, folks can hear the city streets below. It's because I'm airing out carbon monoxide from my apartment right now. So just deal with the room tone being as it is. I don't think I can actually get behind it being Sauron anymore because there's so many things like that. Like this episode ruins the Sauron theory for me because even the staff fight with the three witches, they're mimicking how Sauron turns Gandalf in the air, which I hate, but that's like one thing, unless that's where Sauron learned the move to do that to Gandalf.
Oh, wait, what? So what's the theory? You mean Saruman?
I always say Sauron.
Okay, I was a little confused. Okay.
No, I appreciate that. I do that every fucking time. Every time.
So you are 100% bought in that the stranger is Gandalf.
I can't imagine it would be anybody else but Gandalf. And this episode solidifies that for me. He's too it nice. It is tough the to adventure.
Say. Yeah.
But it was like fun to entertain it because this is the third time I've watched this all the way through. So it was kind of fun to kind of go, are there Saruman, twinklings here? And there's some inconsistencies that I'm going to have a hard time wrapping my head around. Like, why did these rune ladies want him? Yes, they thought he was Sauron, but why would Gandalf have to go to Rune? And what did they show him that he believes is true that also mirrors Sauron? It actually leaves more frustrating questions than this episode answers, but just some interesting things to think about too.
Yeah, it's like they I've talked about how a lot of seasons in TV are just kind of prologues to the rest of the show.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's been very frustrating in the past few years where, shows think they're guaranteed, three or four seasons when you're not. Like, you got to tell a full story to get that second season. And I feel like this show very much towed the line because they are guaranteed more seasons. But I mean, Amazon's not afraid to pull the plug. Like, they can recoup.
They will?
I think season two, we've talked about a lot. I think season two is going to be very important and decisive because a lot of this first season is coasting off the good graces of the movies.
Sure.
And, fans that, just want some Middle Earth content that we haven't gotten in, like 9 years or so.
Right.
So I think this second season with and you have a lot of good setup. You have your wizard and Harfoot / Hobbit on their adventure now. You've got Sauron returning to Mordor and Sauron Adar fights. Who knows? You have started the plot now. So what are you going to do? You have the dwarves awakening the Balrog.
Right.
You have, Durin being supposedly cast out and maybe some political intrigue with the kingdom of Moria. So you have a lot of really good setups and, what's going to happen. Did Gil-galad and the rest of the elves actually leave? Are they still there? We don't know.
Were they successful or not or whatever? Sure.
We got the rings forming. We have the three elven rings now. So there's a lot on the table, a lot of directions they can go with this. And this was a better finale than I remember. And this show is better than
it's
I remember,
bad.
Honestly.
It's yeah.
No, the scene, we'll get to it. I think we should do the Harfoots first and then get to the Halbrand Galadriel stuff. But that scene of the reveal is very well done. As much as I don't like it makes no sense, watching this again of knowing who he is, all the surprises aren't really there. But, and the fact that the whole season is just is this Sauron? No, it's like a game of guess who, is Sauron a middle-aged, white, half corrupted elf? Nope. Okay. Click, 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 click.
Does
click,
he wear
click.
Glasses?
Yeah. Does he have a beard and long scraggly hair with a robe? Nope. Click, 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 click. Is he smoldering temptress? Yes. Oh, it's Halbrand. You win. Guess who? That's literally what this whole season is.
Wow.
Is that Sauron's keep popping up with Adar, with the three witches, with the stranger, and Halbrand, and then just one by one, he's not Sauron. Oh, he's not Sauron. Oh, they're not Sauron. It's okay. Oh my God. I get it. But overall, that scene between them as
when it's revealed.
Yeah. And with her brother and then back on the ship and him tempting her. Great stuff. A+ stuff right there.
Yeah, I look forward to talking more about my opinion on exactly what you just said there. Was this a season or was this just one whole mystery? And why didn't we get a plot? Could we have just enjoyed a plot where we knew he was Sauron from the top? So next episode, we're going to talk the overview of what we think of this season, having rewatched it, and maybe what we hope to see in season two. But I'm with you that sequence when he's basically tempting her with power and love, it's very hot and it's very,
very good.
Good. I couldn't
stuff.
Agree with you more. So yeah, what ends up happening is we happen upon the stranger who's sad and unravels an apple. Only one apple.
Right?
He's been
tiny apple, a little mandarin apple, what are those, cuties? He unwraps a cutie apple, basically.
Oh my God. Yeah, he's got one of those mini apples that you get on platters that you're not meant to eat or whatever.
Yes.
Or my mom made us apple ornaments years and years ago. They looked good, though. They looked like you could eat them. It, baby apple. And the three sirens of Sauron, you know, basically lure him in. And they're like, you're our daddy, and we're going to teach you who you are. And we bow to you, Sauron. He's fine. They don't need to come get him.
He's good. He's chilling. And that's the thing is that I know they needed to create some kind of, you know, enemy for the Harfoots. But, like, I don't understand the witches, like, at all. I don't understand what they're doing. I don't understand who, like, they think he's Sauron. So, is, they say Istari. They say the word Istari.
Right.
So, we know.
When they realize.
Yeah, when they realize Sauron. He's not Sauron. And when, like, he realized, because he's even like, I guess I'm Sauron. I don't know, man. Like, this seems pretty cool. I got three hot chicks with me. Let's go.
They're going to tie me up.
It's crazy. Right. I mean. There's worse ways to be this Middle Earth. But just like, I don't understand this angle. And it seems like just to be all for naught at the end, where it's just like, oh, you're like, they finally get to him. You think they're there to kill him, but they're not. And they're like, oh, we're here to help you. Oh, you're not Sauron? Okay, we're going to kill you. It's like, oh, okay, that didn't last very long. Like,
well, and I'm so confused about what crossover there could possibly be that Gandalf, let's just say he's Gandalf.
It's fine.
Needs to go to Rune for. Like, they want, these witches want to take Sauron back to Rune to regain his power.
I'm looking at least like the IMDb synopsis, and it says that the constellation he seeks is in Rune.
That's right, but why? Yeah. Because also, know. Whatever I don't know what they that showed him, he said, that rang true, and I can't explain why.
And that's the thing, like, we got this constellation, like, the second episode when he, like, couldn't say a single word and stuff like that. And then this is kind of the only other time it's really been brought up.
That's not true. They gave him the thing he unraveled was the map to Rune. She's talked about it. They're going to the star. He wants to go to the stars. I think you're just blanking it out.
I think I'm just blocking all this stuff out. God, it's so uninteresting.
I don't ever want to tell you you're wrong, but it's brought up to the point where I know that that's his.
I believe you.
That's his vibe. Is the stars? Okay.
God, because I do not remember any other moment where I'm just like, oh yeah, the stars are a thing here, I guess. But. I don't know. It's just, it's so strange that we needed more from this. And that's the thing is that we are going to talk about if this is a season or if this is a prologue. And if it's a prologue, okay, make it 5 episodes.
Yeah.
Label it as such and be like, hey, this is the setup for what we're going to bring you. And then in a few years, you're going to get 12 banger movie-like episodes.
Totally.
And it's like, okay, cool.
Totally.
Now, granted, would people have still been, like, upset by it? Of course. People are upset by everything nowadays. But you set so much up, but it's like, okay, so the Numenoreans went to Middle-earth and then came back to Numenor, and the king is finally dead, and does Elendil's daughter look into the Palantir?
I think that's the insinuation.
Yeah, but we don't see that. We don't see what she's... Probably a wave crashing, because that's what everybody sees. And then they're just back, and I don't know, it's just, it's a lot of, no pun intended, wheel spinning with a lot of these things, where I think the only thing that moves forward is part of Galadriel's storyline with, you know, the forming of Mordor, which is somehow named Mordor, you know, like, who's going to be the first one to say it out loud? Let's take a bet. Who's going to be the first character to say Mordor out loud?
Ooh, I think it's going to be Halbrand.
Halbrand? Okay.
I do think
I'm going to say Adar.
I was going to say Adar, but I think if the showrunners know what they're doing, it will be Halbrand.
That's fair. But it's just like, I like a lot of this stuff, rewatching it, and this season finale was good.
Mm-hmm.
But
too. Like, I didn't feel like it was dragging too much.
Yeah, like, the goodbye of Nori, like, felt
that
a little
long.
That
was egregious. I'm sorry. I cut you off, but...
No, but it was just like... I don't know. I'm kind of rambling because I am a bit hungover today, and that is my fault.
But fine, I'll take over if you want.
Yeah, feel free. Just jump in. But it's just like, I like a lot of this stuff. I really
do. Right.
But it felt like we didn't get enough answers. Like, this should have been the answer episode. And we got a few. Is Sauron Halbrand? Halbrand Sauron? Yes, we got that one. Who's the stranger? Well, he's not evil, but we don't really know who he is.
Sure,
or like
sure.
Where he came from or what the stars are or any of that. Like, there's so much left to go on that side. Who sent the witches? We don't know. What's going to happen with the Mithril and Durin? Who knows? They're just gone. They're just gone from the season, which is a huge mistake.
Totally.
And then the formation of the rings, I mean, the small circular objects that radiate power and light. Like,
I've never heard that word before.
Yeah, what?
Something.
I could have swore, like, I always made that joke, but I could have swore they say the word rings. They don't.
No. Not until Fiona Apple sings it.
Like, is that really Fiona Apple?
Oh, yeah.
Is it really?
Yes.
Whoa.
Well, it kind of makes sense, right? Because you have, like, these badass women do, besides Ed Sheeran does a song, right? But
Misty Eye of the Mountain. Hey, you know what? I will say my whole first episodes of this show is me defending the Hobbit movies to you two.
Sure, that's exactly right.
And when, granted, should Smaug have died in the second movie? Absolutely. Yeah. For sure. But that cutoff of what have we done, I am fire, I am death, and then you cut to black and no credits, and then you just have Ed Sheeran's hauntingly beautiful voice. I got chills in the theater. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I will defend that. Great, it makes no sense because then Smaug dies 5 minutes into the next movie, and you're like, all right, I guess we're moving on here.
Totally. But yeah, I will never begrudge you your theatrical experience there. But you're right, just logically, it's not the smartest move ultimately. But yeah, Fiona Apple basically creates a song about the rings, the ring poem, mm-hmm. essentially, at the end. That's who it is. As we see Halbrand walking into Mordor.
So are we going to have Halbrand showing up to Moria and convincing the dwarves they need rings? And then same with the men?
Oh.
Because, like, it feels like the elves have their three rings way before anybody else has even thought about these things.
Which is also incorrect, like, lore-wise. I believe once the elves realized that Sauron was the one who was helping them make the rings, them make the rings, they went, oh, crap, we need to make rings that are untouched by him.
Yes.
So that's why I can get behind people talking about this like being like fan fiction or something, because that does really changes things. But this whole season, if we look at it logically, or if I'm trying to look at it from the showrunner's perspective, we've seen all three of the elves that will be gifted these rings. That's actually not true. We haven't seen the shipmaster, who people have theorized has been cast for the next season. There's a guy mm-hmm. that is from the early days elf world that ends up giving his ring to Gandalf, who we haven't seen yet.
Okay.
He's something the shipmaster. Did you look
at Kierdan?
Kierdan.
Okay.
Kierdan.
I just Googled that. Don't think I just pulled it.
No, I didn't think you pulled it. I could hear the tip-tapping.
Yeah, I was trying to type very quietly.
But so that guy, I was going to say, if you're looking at it from the showrunner's perspective, this series shows us the people that are going to get this set of rings. Next series is going to show us the set of people that's going to get that set of rings. But they actually didn't do that because we never met Kierdan. So, that's interesting.
What if he just showed up at the end like, hey, I'm Kierdan. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. You have Ninja. I'll drink that one.
Yeah.
It's blue like the sea. But also, we've got to get to that is probably why Gandalf is in this ultimately, because Gandalf ends up getting the ring. He's gifted it by Curadon or Curadin.
Oh, like how far in? Like how
I don't deep? Remember, but I'm latched on to that amount of lore because that's how Gandalf does end up with the ring. The guy's like, here you go. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. But that guy's a badass, so that could be interesting storytelling too.
Yeah, Gil-galad gave his ring to Elrond, and Curadin gave his to Gandalf.
Right.
At the end of the Third Age, when the rings finally lost their power and were taken into the West. The keepers were Elrond, Galadriel, and Gandalf.
At the end of the Third Age?
I think those sentences are separate. Elrond gave his to Círdan, and Círdan gave his, or Gil-galad gave his to Elrond, Círdan gave his to Gandalf, period. At the end of the Third Age, when the rings finally lost their powers, they were taken into the West.
Gotcha. Yeah. Same page now. Yeah. So just to kind of, so that actually even further solidifies that this is Gandalf, because we are going to get Círdan in the next Círdan in the next episode season. They've already pretty much, like, some of the people that they show that are cast are like, oh, I could see it be that dude.
For sure.
But yeah, they end up saving him. Sadok is brutally what should be just cut in half, but ends up living and bleeding out for another 30 minutes when they fight the people.
That's where they do a good job. I only noticed it really, like, we've noticed it a few times with like the force perspective being really good in some places and really bad in some places.
Right.
And it was really good with the apple, you know, little tiny apple, because like little tiny people. But then like the other giant ladies that have been shown to be giant ladies comparative to, and they're just tall in general. They're like 7 or 8 feet tall anyways. Like, so they like, I've been into an NBA game. Those guys are giants. Like,
right,
they're big dudes. And so, like, when he, like, they've got the weapons, and it's proven where Sting is a dagger. Sting is a dagger and is a full-size sword for Bilbo and Frodo.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's literally, like, the, like, oh, it's a letter opener or, you know, a toothpick is what Balin tells him. Like, it's great.
But it's perfect for him. He's the perfect.
It's perfect. And so I don't know, like they could have done a good job with like, oh my gosh, these weapons are so huge and just like dodging them. And even when they get thrown at Nori and Poppy and they get stuck and they're about to die, like they're like little tiny ninja star looking things. And it's like, no, they like that's in her full hand. Like they'd be bigger. So it's not really a nitpick when you, I don't know. It's just.
It takes you out of it immediately, because I genuinely remember thinking that the first watch through. I was like, so basically the same size sword she just threw, like, landed in Sadok, basically. It doesn't look like there's any difference in size, and it should.
Yeah, it should, and especially, like, with the staff, too, where, we just watched it, but just I don't feel like she struggles picking it up or anything, when, like, she should.
Yep.
It's a big staff.
The same size as those bitches, and I mean that lovingly. Well, they're also bad, so
yeah, they're bad bitches.
Bad batches. I can't bad every batches. Time. Every time I see Bad Batch, I'm like, oh, can't believe they named Star Wars that.
But yeah, it is a good moment with him like coming to terms with who he is and like saying, "I am good." I like that. I understand it that. And I think that leads more into the Gandalf theory, where like he's going to create his own staff, and Gandalf's staff is, you know, like that, basically like a tree branch that looks like all the wind swept and stuff like that.
Sure, yes.
So I think on this journey, he's going to create either in Rune or with Nori or something, he's going to realize that he needs a staff to harness his powers. Because like in that same fight, he like does his fist slam again and they like kind of fall over and they're like, oh no, but they're immediately back up and fighting. But then when he has the staff, he like, obliterates them.
But question, isn't it movie canon that the staff Gandalf has that's windswept is Radagast's? He takes Radagast's staff.
He does take it in The Hobbit. I totally forgot about that. Because he loses his in Dol Guldur to Sauron.
That's right. So it's not to say that it has to be that they don't have to adhere to the movies. But I do think whatever staff he makes isn't necessarily the one we see him with later.
Especially
since I have a feeling we will see Gandalf here, and we can talk about this more next episode, but I think we will see him in this series, and I think we will see him decorporealized or killed, because then he has to come back. I do think that's what's going to happen, based off of what we were talking about when we realized Gandalf's not supposed to be here right now. So yeah. I think that's what we're going to see happen. We're probably dealing with Gandalf the Brown right now, and he'll come back as Gandalf the Gray or something like that. I think that's... I guess Gandalf has
like five different staffs. I'm looking at this Screen Rant article where he's got the opening flower in The Hobbit and then Radagast, and then Radagast's spear is dwindled. It's damaged over time.
That's why he tweaks, and then when he comes back, he has a new staff. It's so annoying and so just plot driven that once he banishes the three witches, much like they look they're very reminiscent of the Nazgul, essentially. Yes. I think that was meant to evoke that.
Definitely when they're getting exercised to very Nazgul imagery, for
100%.
Sure.
100%. But it was so plot driven to have the fucking staff decorporealize as well.
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
It definitely was, for sure.
But I love your idea. I think watching him, you know, build like a little bird his own like staff,
I think it's going to happen, because even his hobbit staff is very like nature. It looks like a tree, like, you know, kind of twisted more than like the Radagast windswept one.
So
I think that's what's going to happen, but it is very like plot driven, where it's like, oh yeah, you can't have your staff yet, you're too powerful. Yeah.
Well, look what you could do. But I love your idea. I think that's a really clever idea. So then they survive, Sadak dies, Poppy knows how to read the map, the bitch doesn't. Now that woman is a bitch.
The fact that this is where the writers are so tone deaf, where she's like, she's the leader now. And I guess she would be.
Sure.
Because she's the oldest, but it's just like, it should be Poppy's dad. Like, he's been giving speeches this whole time and gives yet another good like life advice. He even says, like, I haven't, you know, prepared you for this moment. And she gives him all the advice of, like, everything he's ever taught her. And it's like, that's a good dad. And he should, like, he's, like, the one good Harfoot that I'm, like, rooting for, that I really like. And, like, you have the old crony a-hole, like, leading the Harfoots. Like, God, like, it's just the worst.
Yeah.
It's just the absolute worst.
Yeah.
And especially like Sadak is a sad death. You know, he's like, I just want to sit here and watch the sunrise one more time, and I'm going to be with the missus. Like, very well acted. I'm very sad to see him go. And it just proves that like the writers didn't know what they're doing. Like, oh, hey, we have two likable Harfoots. One we're going to kill off, and the other we're not going to make chief. It's just like, do you think we're going to see the Harfoot tribe again? Or do you think we're done with them?
Well, so, okay. Poppy said, promise we'll see you again. I'll see you again. Dude.
No.
Never again.
Never. Never.
They're gone. That's why this should be more heavy. Like, granted, if you're a Harfoot, you know where you travel to. And even Nori said, we go to here, to here, to here. So if she wants to go to see them, at a certain point in the year, she could have a pretty good guess as to where they'll be.
Yeah.
So if she survives this rune trip, which, spoiler, she will, like, she could go back, I'm sure. I think it would be more heartfelt, more poignant, more real if it's like, we may never see you again. Like, this is a big, you are leaving this group. You are, you know, going off trail. But I do think we will see them again. I hope not for at least a season.
That's the thing, is that, like, we spent a whole season. I don't know.
I think the showrunners even said we'll see them again too. I think so.
Okay, got it.
But what were we like? Oh, by getting us close to these people and then just shit-canning them?
Maybe that was their plan of like, hey, we're not going to make anyone too likable because you might not see them for like a season or two. Which, you know, I guess makes sense. But I swear, if they don't have Poppy show up in the first or second episode, being like, you couldn't keep me away if you tried, like, or something like that. Something very Sam Gamgee like. It's just a waste.
Yeah.
It's like I'm going to be annoyed at that, where they are willfully trying to separate themselves from the movies when they don't need to be.
Poppy being separated from her was one of the biggest what the heck moments for me watching it the first time. And it still doesn't make it make sense. Do you know
it
what
doesn't
I mean?
Make sense. It's indefensible, truly, because like having just them two go off alone. One, it just looks weird. I don't know. Like just two, one tall, one giant and one Harfoot. Like it just like,
wow, you're being sizist right now.
Being so sizist right now. but it's just like, they have no conversations. Like, what are they going to talk about? Like, you need two people to, like, bounce off each other. And that's Poppy and Nori. They've done it all season long.
Yeah.
And continue that. Because Poppy, she's an orphan. She doesn't have a family. So, like, Nori is her family.
Well, and they're like, you be better at reading trails than me. And the woman continues to be the leader. So either make Poppy the leader, or Poppy's like, you know what? You're right. I should help them. What a perfect entrance it would have been for Poppy when they say, well, I don't know which direction to go, as opposed to giving us the nod to Gandalf, follow your nose. And Poppy's like, I know how to read trails. I'll be good to you. Like, I'll tell you how to go. It's
something.
They biffed it. But yeah,
it should have been one of the two. Either she goes with them or she becomes chief.
Yeah, I just think it's weird. It is weird. So I'm with you. Season two, if they don't bring her along, they actually betrayed us as an audience. They really did, for sure. But that's how pretty much the Harfoots wraps. Anything else you want to say about them before we move?
The terrible, boring, worst storyline.
Yeah.
And like, this isn't a shot at the actors or anything like that. They did their job. But it's just like, that was, you could have had half of their screen time and told the same exact story.
Yeah, especially if they're like not going to be seen for a full season.
Yeah. Like if you're just going to end up with Nori and the stranger at the very end, have a few bonding scenes, I guess have the witches show up and then like whatever. I don't know, man. Like,
well, this is going to go into my full criticism next episode of like, this didn't need to be an episode of Guess Who. You're totally right. This doesn't need to be Clue. All right, so we then we do get a little bit of some sexy time under the in the boat between Elendil and Muriel. It's kind of hot. I'm just gonna say it. They're both experiencing grief and loss, and Elendil, who was completely rocked by the fact that his son died, and he let the elf on board actually. Has like a resurgence of his faith, which is I thought was nice too.
Yeah,
like you know what, it's totally fair for him to experience regret and loss, but then he did need to say, "I made all those choices throughout. It's not like I stumbled into this. I let my son go. I chose to save her. You know, I chose to be a faithful through and throughout. I guess I just don't love the implication of what they're saying here is that." The elves are godlike, and they have to be faithful for the elves, and that means and requires loss and sacrifice on this huge level. For what? You know, to be the favored people? I just kind of don't love that they're, like, making elves into this, what's, like...
Deities?
Yes, or but demigods? That, like, don't care. They're like, well, you might have to die to serve us. Like,
and that's the thing, is that, like, the elves are just... I said this while we were watching it, and they made all the, everyone besides Elrond and Galadriel, like these indifferent a-holes.
Sure.
Like every single elf we meet is just like this stone-faced, like wispy witch or wizard as they like pass by unfeeling and unthinking, and like Gil-galad just like doubling and tripling down on just like, no, all is lost. We're leaving. Bye. We hate you. By the way, Galadriel, like you shouldn't even be here. Like just everything about it. And it's just like, again, we've said this all season. Who am I rooting for? Who am I rooting for in this world? Because I don't have a lot that I'm hanging on to.
Yeah.
Because like you don't need much. I'm okay with elves being reserved emotionally. Like that's a very good thing. But you know, we've said it 1,000 times. Would you like me to find you a box? You know, the simple, you know, shoulder like tap that Legolas gives Aragorn at the end of the trilogy is all we need.
Right.
And it's like all these things, like I don't need these huge, exuberant amounts of emotion, but You have the drawing board, and that's the frustrating thing, is that, like, if this was the first Lord of the Rings thing, then yeah, it's very hard. It is hard to faithfully and, like, very, for lack of a better term, good, like, adapt fantasy. We've sure. seen it with Dune, you know, like, people like that show, another Amazon series, Wheel of Time. People really like it. Some people don't like it. Golden Compass, the movie didn't really work, but I hear the HBO show is good. But it's hard to adapt these things, especially in live action, because there's not that suspension of disbelief. But also, you and your in your mind's eye create all these different things in fantasy worlds and stuff like that. But you have the template. You have six movies right there of showing, like, hey, to varying degrees, this is what things look like. This is how these things act. This is how these races interact with each other, et cetera, et cetera. And they just, they're like, no, we're going to do, I'm fine with them not faithfully to a T doing the Silmarillion or totally. How the rings were created. I'm fine with that. I am. But to just, like, purposely, like, push away the source material and be like, no, we don't want that. It's like, well, that's why people are watching this show to begin with. So, well, what are you doing here?
Yeah, that's so interesting. I think one change that I do like is I hope they do, like, expand on it. I like it's weird because at first when Elendil is introduced, he's like a big dude in the appendices. Mm. And so, like, for her to be Muriel to go, I think he's a shipmaster, like, to not know who the fuck that guy is kind of a wild call. But I'm just realizing now they're probably going to make it so that Muriel and Elendil, like, get together. Because in the lore, actually, Farazan, who's, like, the dissenter who, like, wants to whatever, you know, the corrupt dude, he's yeah. Muriel's cousin and makes Muriel in the books marry him. To be a king. So I think we'll see Elendil become a king by, like, them fostering this relationship, which does make for better storytelling, I think. If you have a reason for doing things. But there's certain things that I don't think they realize the choices they made just for, like, dramatics or the things that they say, it doesn't follow through well. Even to episode 8, like, and we'll talk about it more when we get to the elves stuff, because it's a big criticism I have, like, where that I didn't notice when Gil-galad says, we sent Galadriel away in hopes that it would stave it off. She never went away. So what does that mean? You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because you're right. It's hard to get, it's easy to get in the woods, in the weeds of all this stuff. But yeah, I think if at the end of the day, you're just giving us relationship and people that we care about that are interesting and have, aren't just bad guys that are struggling with whether to be broody or not, then it could be more interesting. Show us the levels of the experience of emotions.
Yeah. And it goes back to, like, when Halbrand kind of, like, introduces himself to Celebrimbor. And one, when Celebrimbor is like, oh, this was the workshop of Celebrimbor. Who says that? You're him. I wouldn't say, oh, this is the room of Ben Goddard. Like, what?
Well, he kind of is saying it. Well, first of all, I just think I'm painting it with my own brush. I think he's turned on by this dude immediately. So I think he's already just
flattered. Well, and that's the thing, is that they make, is Celebrimbor supposed to be, like, the nutty professor or something? Who's not, like, really smart, but, like, dumb?
No, because, like, you called this out before. He's like, he said stupid things before, too.
Well, the fact that Halbrand's first thing is to be like, well, what if you combined it with another metal? He's never, the greatest elven smith in the history of time has never thought to combine metals to, like, calm it down or whatever they say. Like, this, I understand this is Sauron. I understand that. But, like, you have to do a little bit better than that. Like, he's got to come up with, like, some chemical or, you know, go full Walter White with blue meth or some. I don't know, man.
Sure.
Like, he's got to come up with something rather than, like, oh, yeah, you could do that. And it was like, whoa. And it feels like it felt like they should have gotten to Eregion last episode, because this feels really rushed, where they're just like, oh, we got to go combine the two metals. Oh, they're going to be crowns. No, we need two. Oh, we can't say the word rings, but they're going to be three rings. Oh, and you're Sauron. Okay, bye. Oh, we still create it. It's like, get their last episode where
make his life be in dire straits. Like maybe he isn't gonna survive or
yeah.
Give us some drama. You're totally right. Rather than having them walk around in Orange Land talking for a full episode, create some aftermath. Actual aftermath.
Yep.
For them. Yeah, that's such a good point. I find it frustrating that we have to rewrite this so much.
So much, because like there is really good stuff in here. And like I like, you know, Galadriel starting to become suspicious of him with how much he jumps on board of like creating this new thing and her finally doing some research of his. I'm going to do my own research. But just like it's a well-crafted episode, but it felt like this whole buildup just started this episode. Because, okay, so was this... Now, I know you said you figured it out, but never in this show do they hint that Halbrand could be Sauron, ever.
Do they hint that Halbrand could be Sauron?
Yeah.
How? You mean... No. There's... Hold on. Go on.
There is no hint, from my perspective, there's no hint or, like... Oh, we got to watch this guy. He's a little suspicious.
Oh.
There's no, like...
Besides, like, him wanting to be a smith in Numenor or something. Yeah, like that.
But that seems more like a... I don't know, like
Red herring or something?
Not a red herring, but more like a ruffian thing. Like, oh, he's like a Han Solo type. He's like, oh, I'll smuggle my way into Numenor, and I'll steal a badge, and I'll become a blacksmith. Like... It seems like they're going for that more than
sure.
This guy is the darkest of dark lords of all time.
Sure.
And so that's the thing is that if you would have started this whole Forging of the Rings last episode, that would have been a cliffhanger of Galadriel either like reading the scroll or finding something out or, you know, what Celeborn says about like, oh, power over the flesh or something like that. Like something clicks.
Right.
And then you have a week of a cliffhanger to be like, oh, what's up with Halbrand?
Sure.
And that, but instead, we get everything in this one episode, including the stuff with the Stranger. You could say that same thing about the Stranger, where have the last episode with the witches catching up with the Stranger and kneeling to him, being like, here we are, Sauron.
Sure.
Boom, credits.
Sure.
But instead, they do it right before the opening. And then 10 minutes later, he's like, no, I'm not Sauron. He's not Sauron. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And then 10 minutes later, you're like, oh, that's Sauron. Okay. And so have that happen last episode, either one or the other. One or the other where, because there's no build up to like, who is this guy? It all happens immediately. She asked the elf PA to go get her some scrolls and says, tell no one. And he's like, sorry, lady, I'm on my union lunch. And she's like, damn the Teamsters, you're on strike.
Oh, my God.
But no, just like you don't have any of that build up to a good twist. And so it's very frustrating just to have all of this
crammed into one episode.
Because how hard, like the scene hits hard already with her brother. And then especially when her brother like. Come back to me, like that last scream that he does. Very well done.
Yes.
Major miscast that this guy is her dead brother and not a main character in the show because he's got the look and he's got the chops.
He's got the look.
But then, and then them going on the boat and having that long conversation and just like basically Jesus and the devil in the desert for 40 days being tempted right there.
Totally.
Like surrounded by seawater. I'm okay with like the reflection of them like with his helmet on.
Genuinely love it.
So good.
I genuinely love it.
And they only tease it for a second before it goes back to them and they just show it. And then kind of dancing around like, you know, her speech from Fellowship, like, you know, if I had the ring, I'd be the temptress of the gods and the foundations of the earth. Like all that's. And that's the thing. You're okay with using these things from other movies, so use it more. It's okay.
Yeah.
So this scene is so good, but it just could have hit so much harder if there was more buildup to it, where, like, she had suspected, like, she's going back and forth all season of, like, who is this guy? But instead, she this whole season, which is, you know, that's your character growth, but you as the audience have been like, yeah, but he did that thing. Galadriel didn't see what he did there, but he did something weird there. And there's something off about this guy, and I don't know what it is.
So I think you and I are going to not be on the same page here, because I actually think there was just enough, and just enough to accomplish what the showrunners wanted, which is for us to not necessarily know it was Sauron. But I had fun going, you guys, come on. It is. So, because I think there was enough from letting the people die on the raft, even though they were assholes, from him being interested to the speech that he gives to her. Like, I for me and my sensibilities, I think we had enough to justify the reveal and not it be like beating us over the head here. So, but I can see your perspective as well. It wouldn't have hurt to have one more like, yo, did he just eat that bird or something weird like
something.
That? Did he just talk to a crow?
Yeah.
Like, is that a Crebane thing or whatever? Like, it certainly could have had one more. But also them not showing their full deck of cards early on kind of works for me. It just does.
But even if you just do it in episode 7.
Sure.
Not like everything happens in the finale.
I think that I can get behind or agree with you more. If we had done the, oh, that was weird, power over flesh, like, and then,
yeah,
yes, get that moment in the perfect world, if they send him to Eregion at the end of episode 7, that totally works for me. I can get beyond that or behind
and it,
that.
And it would have given us something like you said, instead of walking in the land of ash for 45 minutes, like literally doing nothing.
Genuinely a waste of an episode and a waste of an audience's time. It just is. So
yeah.
If they could have done anything, it would have been an improvement. Literally anything else.
Like, I'm watching this anime, and I decided to read the manga because the pacing was just so tough. Because, like, it's this really popular manhwa, which is, like, a Korean manga.
Oh.
And it's finally being adapted, and the first season was good. But literally, like, it's 7 episodes in out of a 12-season, like, a 12-episode season. And episode, like, they label episode 7.5. And it's, like, a catch-up of the last 6 episodes. And everyone's just like, what?
You don't need that.
Yeah, and I think it was like the lowest rated episode in Crunchyroll history, because everyone was just like, we were waiting for a new episode, not a recap of everything we've just watched. Like, this isn't the beginning of a second season. This isn't, you know, 20 episodes in or something. It's just, we just started. We don't need this. And that's what this episode felt like. In an 8-episode season, we get a filler episode, and it's like, but we didn't need a filler episode. There's not
so
room
weird.
For filler.
How weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, like, they just, when we talked about it last week in our last episode when we ripped it apart, last week's episode was useless and a waste of our time and their dollars. Better to have made 7 episodes, 6 episodes, and leave it at that. And give us more to chew on, you know?
For sure. Like, you can have that same moment of, like, literally back to back where you have the, oh, power over the flesh, that's suspect. And then you cut to the Harfoots and then the witch is kneeling at the stranger's feet being like, you're Sauron. You're like, oh, I guess he's Sauron.
So
okay.
He is Sauron. Yeah.
And then then the next episode, it flips and you're like, and boom, like it's all right there. But I love the memory, corporeal, mental battle that he gives her is so good, because it is tempting. He is getting to her. And like the close-ups, like the close-ups of their face really
She's
work.
She's never looked more beautiful.
It's insane how, like, and this is the thing, is I don't think he's unattractive.
Sure.
But she outstrips him by a mile. And I think that's why I'm like so biased, where it's like because of these close-ups where I'm like, oh, angelic, perfect goddess to barista you see in Silver Lake. That, like,
but that's my type, Ben.
No, but that's the thing, is that you do see like hot people like oh, like you know, it, people have made careers out of like being having their crushes on like their barista, and it's like you would see like a long haired like, you know, hoop earrings, tattoos,
oh,
like,
don't say,
oh,
it.
What's up,
man,
Jessica?
Bun.
I got your mocha latte right here, baby. I saw you coming.
Stop.
How's your improv going?
Stop.
Are you making a Herald team yet?
Fuck you. Fuck you.
I got my shift covered on Wednesday. I'll come to your battle show.
You know what? This is fanfic because that would never happen to me.
I'm just saying. Like, when I say, I don't want to sound insulting when I say Silver Lake Barista, because we have a lot of non-LA people watching this, but people move to LA to become movie stars and they got to pay their bills until they become one. So we have a lot of good looking people in the service industry here.
It's not an insult. It is literally a vocation out here to be that bro, for sure.
Yeah.
I do think he's going toe to toe with her acting, and it's worth the price of entry just to get to that scene with them, and it's very good. Then I don't know. He leaves her to drown?
Does he plan on killing her, like, right there, and Elrond saves her, or is she, like, drowning in metaphorically?
Well, I mean, she's definitely... He pulled her from the river. I think he knew... She would get out or something, but like I think she's also drowning under the weight of like the thing that she did here.
Yeah, like she's not, I don't know, maybe she's not trying as hard to like save herself in this moment where because it's like a combination of everything.
She's guilty for what she did here. I think that's more it.
I'm okay with that. That works.
No, it works. It totally works. But then she, you know, here's the thing, and this is something you talked about that you don't like in TV shows, and I'm right there with you. She comes back. She's got the idea that they got to split it up into three. It shouldn't be two. You know, balance of power, shift and balance. But I'm not going to tell you who the hell Halbrand is.
Yeah, so is it because she's afraid, like what he said, that she's afraid that if she tells Elrond or Celebrimbor or Gil-galad that like, oh, Halbrand is Sauron, and then they're gonna be like, well, you brought him here. Yeah. What's going on?
I think that is it. And like, I wonder if they don't end up making the rings, because that's kind of what I think Elrond is doing. Is when he picks up the scroll and comes running, even though that's been sitting there for 5 days and he could have looked at it or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's about to say, we shouldn't be making this, because that dude was like, and also, even though Sauron didn't forge the rings, homie worked with the Mithril.
He did.
So like,
and like that whole shot of the Mithril going into the molten thing is definitely the Eye of Sauron. Like, it is absolutely that.
They're supposed to be untouched by him. And you can't say that after having him handle the Mithril.
So do you think this is a red herring and they're gonna make three new rings once they get more Mithril from the dwarves?
No, I don't think so. I think they just made a mistake. Like, because granted, it's not the same. You know, like, it would be like, just to give them like a little pass, it would be like if Sauron had the gold he was going to make the ring for, mm-hmm. but didn't end up making the ring. It's not like he infused his power. His power is being infused once he's forging it. That's the magic. But it's not untouched by him, is my only point.
To a degree, I guess it could be, because like they don't start, like they put the meat, like they use the dagger after, right. You know, she comes out of the river.
Right.
They put the Mithril in after, like this is all post reveal. So I guess in a way it is. But he did have like a big imprint on like basically everything surrounding, besides like the actual manual labor of it. Like, he was like the foreman at the construction site. He just wasn't like hammering the nails and stuff.
Yeah. So I think ultimately, no, he doesn't have influence over these rings, which was the whole purpose for the elves to make it in secret, so that Sauron didn't have power over them, essentially.
Yeah.
But they make beautiful rings.
They do look really good, and the process of that, I don't know if those are actual, you know, ring makers, jewelry makers that they had on set, but I love that whole process. It really works, and they look really good. They look really good. They're very well filmed. Like, I have no complaints about that. But like, is the Elrond running up the stairs with his weird CGI shadow in the windows looking like Harry Potter, like something? Is that supposed to be like that cliffhanger? Like, he's going to reveal that, how, like, everything there?
I think he's coming to go, wait, Halbrand isn't who we said he was? And yeah. And who is he, basically?
For sure. Yeah, it just... And then we see Halbrand going back into Mordor, where it's like, I guess these are cliffhangers, but I'm not... I wasn't like, oh my gosh, second season, here we come. Like,
totally. Totally.
And I mean, I don't need it to be like, you know, I'll never forget that Sons of Anarchy one season, the main character's son gets kidnapped and taken to Ireland. And that's like the last thing you see. And you're like, what?
Oh,
but
wow.
But it's like, if you're not going to tell a complete story with this season, which I really don't think they did outside of maybe making the rings, I guess. But it wasn't like they set out at the very beginning, like, we got to make some rings. You know what? Episode one, we're ring making, baby. But we just don't have the materials.
Like, right, right, right.
Then you do need a cliffhanger. You do need something to draw the audience back in. And there, you know, you have Nori and the Stranger, Gandalf, going on their adventure. You have Sauron returning to Mordor. But, like, you should have showed Adar or him walking toward a pack of orcs or something. You should have shown that, like, it should have been like a blinking, like, hey, here's what's going on in Moria again. Here's what's like, what?
Here's the Balrog or
like
whatever.
They, like, have Elrond open the door and Galadriel look at him and the scroll in his hand and then cut to black or something. And that's the last time we see them. Like, there's just, there's
so much.
Is
it possible that they didn't do that because they had already just bounced us around with, whoa, is it him? Is it him? Is it him? Is it possible they just didn't want to, like, do that to us now? Do you know what I mean by that?
But how, what is, if, what's drawing you back to this series? What is, like, Lord, we can talk about this more. Exactly.
Right.
It's, right now, it's just that. And so, if this show wants to stand on its own two feet, which it definitely does, because it's making choices that are straying away from other movies and stuff like that, even if it's just homages or references to it, they're not doing it. We've talked about that ad nauseum. But what, if it's not that, why are people coming back? Why do people want to see what happens with Galadriel? If so, have them show, like, Elrond walking in the door with the scroll. If people care about Durin, have them anywhere in the fucking finale.
Jesus. Like, and have some sort of cliffhanger.
Yeah.
With them. And you, I think that's right.
And if you care about Nori, have her go on an adventure with her best friend. Not a strange 8-foot wizard.
I think that does it for this episode. That's a fucking perfect wrap-up, dude. Anything else you want to say before we let our friends go and then ask them to join us for next week's wrap-up on the whole series?
Yeah, we're going to have overall thoughts next week. But most importantly, guys, outside of, like, you know, 5 stars, all that good stuff, we got a Q&A episode after our overview of the series. And I want to hear some good Qs because I got some good A's, baby.
Ooh! Snap. All right. You snap. Do that. And until we meet again, until next time.
Maripaz, meet again, maybe. I don't know. I'm hungry.
I don't know. What's up?